here I am, 16 years old and clueless on what to do. And she just made me feel like I had value. It was a simple response that showed respect and value.
Welcome to the Open Adoption Project. This is episode 121. We're the Nelsons, and I'm Lynette.
And I'm Sean. We're so glad to be back in your podcast feed. We've been really busy with a lot of different things in life, and we did not intend to take a 6-month break.
Whoops.
Whoops. but we're back, and we have actually already pre-recorded more than a half a dozen episodes that will come out over the next several weeks. So plan on hearing from us every other week again through the end of the year.
We're really happy to be back. Today, we're talking to Janelle Basham. She's the executive director of Brave Love. Now, Brave Love is a nonprofit, and its mission is really to change perceptions of adoption through storytelling, education, and support. And it's a nonprofit that's focused on birth parents and their experiences.
Yeah, Janelle lives in Virginia, and she brings both this professional expertise and a deep personal experience to her role as an executive director, because not only does she lead with love and is a great person, but also she's also a birth mother. And so in this role, she has a really unique perspective.
So as you know, on the podcast, we love sharing a wide range of experiences, and we feel like this is a really unique and valuable experience. Janelle and Brave Love are really focused on offering support for birth parents in the adoption community. And that can be so overlooked so often, way too often. And so we feel like this is really needed, really valuable, and we're so grateful for the opportunity to talk with her and share her experiences and her perspectives, both on a personal level and through a professional lens.
Awesome. So whether you're on a run, listening in your car, just chilling at your house, hopefully you can settle in and listen to this wonderful conversation that we have with Janelle. Listening and learning to people's experiences in adoption is really valuable, and we're so grateful that she was willing to share with us and our community. So we'll jump to that conversation now. Well, we are now here on the podcast with Janelle Basham, and we are super excited to be with you. Thank you so much, Janelle, for being with us.
I am super excited to be here with you all.
Well, help our listeners get to know a little bit about you and your connection to the adoption world.
I mean, really, how long is this podcast? Because my adoption journey starts like 32 years ago. So depending on how much time we have, just kidding. I am in Virginia. I am a proud birth mom of a 31-year-old daughter, Catherine, and she has made me a grandmother. So I also am I hate this title, but birth grandma. After like so many generations go by, you just drop the birth. I'm a grandma.
Yeah, you're a grandma.
Yeah, totally. So very, very proud of her and her son. They were here this weekend, so that's why it's like, oh, I'm just beaming still from that. I have been married for over 25 years. Again, I'm to that stage of life where I don't really remember how many years, but I'm in a good marriage, so I'm good. I don't remember how many years I've been married. And we have two children, Carson and Emma, who are just the joys of our lives. My career has been interesting through the years, which has taken me now to being the executive director of Brave Love, which is such an honor. It's just an honor to sit in this role and be connected with birth mothers, be a voice for them, be an advocate for them, and to see changes happening in the adoption world. So my adoption journey starts as a pregnant 17-year-old who didn't know what to do. And here I am 31, 32 years later in a place I never thought I would be.
We often get to the place where we never imagined we would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
that's the journey in life, right? But what an experience to get where you are and to become who you've become.
Yeah, it was really cool this last weekend. I was working on a project, and we are capturing the stories of birth moms, adoptees, adoptive parents, and talking about communication and adoption. And my daughter, Catherine, was being recorded from her perspective. And they also had captured my story. And it was just a very surreal moment. I was sitting on the floor with my grandson and watching her share. And I was like, if you would have told me 31, 32 years ago that this is where I would be today, I would have thought there's no way. Just to have the opportunity to sit next to this precious life and listen to his mom talk just blew me away.
That's beautiful. Yes. So we have followed Brave Love for years and the work that you do in the community.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. I'm really curious. How do you feel like being a birth mom has shaped your identity over the years and led you to where you are now?
I think being a birth mom, it changes through the years. And for me, I'm 49 years old. And so I've come to this place where when I was, after the placement had happened, it was like I didn't want to be defined by this experience that I had been through. It was like I am more than adoption. I am, I have so many other titles. But now I'm really, really proud of that title. I'm proud to be a mom. I'm proud to be everything else. But to sit with such confidence and be free of the shame and say I'm a birth mom, I've got really, really thick skin. And I think part of that thick skin comes along with knowing there's other women out there that aren't there yet. And so I, as a birth mom, want to see those conversations keep happening. I find myself as a birth mom through the years, my determination is just like, this is my why. This is why I get up every day for the birth mom and the adoption community to say, like, changes have happened. I started this in 1993, 94, and to see where we are now today, I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't wait in 30 years to see where we are. And if I and Brave Love can be a part of that change, like, I just want to see it keep happening. So I think determination, thick skin, and then I have such a deep appreciation for the women who came before me. The book, The Girls That Went Away,
Yes.
so powerful. And I actually went through a maternity home during my pregnancy. And so reading that and seeing where they were in the, 60s, 70s, where I was in the 90s, where it's headed to today, I have such an appreciation for those women who were brave enough to stand up and say changes need to happen. Because if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be where I am. And I just see it like that appreciation. I want to carry that on for the next era of birth moms to be able to look back and say, to us, thank you so much. So I think when I was younger in this journey, I didn't want adoption to define me. And now I think adoption has shaped so much of my identity. It is very much who I am and who I am supposed to be.
That's beautiful and w well put. It's very, from your description, a very transformative process, and one where you come to different realizations and understanding and acceptance. I imagine throughout your journey, you've had the opportunity to try to educate and help people understand, what it is like to be a birth mother. What do you wish that more people understood or knew about being a birth mom?
Gosh, it's always changing. I think, people look at birth moms with all different biases, and where do they come from? And I wish people were just kind. And that sounds so generic, but that comment comes from a birth mom, Wendy, who we did an interview with her. And she just said in her interview, she's like, just be kind. We have a lot on our shoulders. And what we're carrying on our shoulders can't be seen and can't be understood by people outside of our community. So I think for me, I wish people knew that there's so much to us. We're so strong, but yet we're so weak. I think it's really sometimes tough to sit there and people say things like, You're so brave. You're so loving. And it's like, wow, I really didn't feel brave when I was in making an adoption plan. I felt the lesser of, I felt shame. And so I think what I want people to know is that we just need understanding. We just need some compassion and some kindness. When you asked that question, it just kind of took me back. I stood in front of a group a few months ago and asked the question, when I say birth mom, what words come to mind? And I'll throw that question at you guys. When I say birth mom, what words come to mind?
From our perspective now,
Yes. I want to hear it. Give me.
Honestly, I feel like the easiest way to explain my relationship with my kids' birth moms is that they have become sisters to me. And so, honestly, the first word that comes to me is sisters. Like, these are my
Love
sisters.
that. I love that.
So many word like words, descriptors come to mind. Selfless and caring and loving and strong.
Yeah.
Those are all words that I see. I mean, there are moments too, I mean, in our personal experiences where, and you alluded to these words too, but like, the sense of not knowing what's next
Yeah.
and uncomfortable and a little scared.
Yeah.
And you had, so it's this balance of these amazing women
Yeah.
who are strong and courageous, but also are facing this huge decision.
In crisis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting because I stood in front of this group of people and I gave this question out to the crowd and I said, what words come to mind? And I heard inconsistent, drug addict, all these words. And I just thought, oh my gosh, I hope my daughter never heard those words. And I think it's really cool that we can have this conversation here, but we're a part of the adoption community. So is this how other people think about birth moms? So it brought an awareness to me that, in the adoption bubble, it's a very safe place. I shouldn't say it is. A lot of times it's a very safe place for a birth parent. But outside of there is still so much shame that goes along with being a birth parent. Now I'm at a place where I could then grab the mic and say, "Hi, my name's Janelle and I'm a birth mom," and everybody's face just dropped. But and I kind of enjoyed that. But it's just sad, and I wish people could understand that even though I'm this person I am today, at one point in my life, I was a 16-year-old girl that just got pregnant. And everybody saw in my town, everybody saw my issues, everybody saw my pain. And that never goes away. Even though, like, I'm free of the shame, it takes just one thing to take me right back there. So I wish people realized and had some compassion on the emotional roller coaster that birth moms can go through.
All right. Well, I remembered two things. So the first time that we were talking with a mother who was considering adoption, she ended up not placing with us, but it was right after we had gotten approved. And it was this young mom who had just found herself pregnant and was trying to figure out what to do. And we just started talking on the phone with her. This was before texting was really prevalent or anything. So we were mostly just talking on the phone. And it was amazing how we had already had a lot of trainings where we thought we understood, like, birth mothers
Yeah.
are these beautiful, wonderful people, that the stigmas are not correct. But having that actual relationship is what really helped change that for us. Even though she ended up not choosing adoption in the end,
Yeah.
having this experience where we built a friendship, like a genuine connection with a mother who was considering adoption, helped really humanize her. And then when she chose to parent, we were so happy for her. And it just changed how we thought about these mothers. And
Yeah.
I also remember when one of our older kids was about 1 year old, he was 1 year old, we had had a birthday party. His birth mom came to his party. And I just remember she was helping him drink out of a cup and helping him eat watermelon. It was super cute. And I just remember looking at her and thinking, she is an amazing mother. Even though she's
Yeah.
not currently parenting, she has those traits. Like, there is nothing about me that's really better. I'm just like
Yeah.
the one who was in a better situation at that moment. But it was really a humbling moment for me to recognize what an incredible mother she was, and that it wasn't really that I had more to offer. It was just, it almost looked
in that moment.
It's just such a challenging thing. And so I think that going in with that humility can really change how we see these mothers too.
Yeah. And I think one of my goals is that as the adoption community grows stronger, is that adoptive parents and birth parents can start to see each other in that way, because adoption is built on loss and pain and hurt. And it's like, hey, we can come to a place of understanding and grow a foundation that'll impact generations to come.
Yeah. So with all of that in mind, I feel like something that comes up a lot is that these birth mothers or expectant mothers considering adoption, they often don't have the support that they need to parent, or they don't have the support they need to place. Like, they just really lack support in all of these different options as they're trying to figure out what to do. So for you, what kind of support do you wish you had had when you were making this decision? And then how can we go forward and offer better support in the future?
Yeah. Oh, that's such a tough question. And I this is one of the areas where I say that I'm very lucky. And when I say that, that also makes me feel very sad, because every woman should have the experience, the level of support that I did. So I was at a maternity home. And let me back up a little bit. If I look back over my life, there were nuggets from the very, very beginning where I was exposed to very positive adoption experiences. And also experiences of teenagers that were getting pregnant, that I was kind of watching them. And now looking back with hindsight, I can say, like, oh, wow, there was a much bigger picture here. You know, was this a God thing? What was going on? But I was very lucky to have a mom and dad that said, anything that you decide to do, we support you. At 16, 17 years old, I don't, you know, what does that really mean? Is that like a pat on the back? Is that, you know, financially providing for me? But I was at a place where I knew I wasn't the best option, and she deserved the absolute best. Now, what's really cool is I went back later and became the director of that maternity home and made a lot of changes. So put a lot of support in for women who wanted to make parenting plans who didn't have as much support, connecting them with other resources. And when I was pregnant, those resources weren't there to successfully parent as a young woman. So I'm very thankful that just as a culture, we've changed to help women parent. And I think it's really neat when you look at my own story and my own daughter, who is now a successful single mom. So a few weeks ago, I was at a conference, and a woman came up to me and she's like, but do you want to see more adoptions happen? And it kind of took me off guard, because I just assume like people know my story. I don't know. It caught me off guard. And I was like, well, no, I don't want more adoptions to happen. And immediately in my head, I just thought of my daughter. I was like, why would I want anyone to have to go through that pain and that loss and that, you know, all of those unknowns. And so I'm really thankful that there is more support for women. But there needs to be more, for sure. I think for the birth mom community, we're moving in the right direction. I've really loved watching other birth moms step up through the years and say, hey, I'm going to start this organization, or we're going to do retreats over here, or I've started a Facebook group. And I just want to see those continuing to grow and to support those women, because they understand. Agencies can support. Like, I am not bashing an adoption agency at all. I worked in adoption for a long time, and a lot of my support came from the adoption agency. And still to this day, if I called them and said, hey, I need support, like, no questions asked, come on in, let's meet for coffee, whatever. But there's something really special about birth mom supporting each other. So one of the things that Brave Love is passionate about is our birth mother dinners that we host twice a year. And so I hope that any birth mom that's listening that wants to get connected with other birth parents will reach out and say, like, okay, tell me more about these dinners, because there's such a neat opportunity to connect with other birth moms. But as for support, I think, the very tangible things, we're moving in a positive direction to help women. But I think also, like, medical professionals, they need to be educated better on how do you talk to these women. We have a lot of work still to do. So I wish I could say, like, oh, A, B, and C, this is what we need. But I'm still trying to define that. And I think everybody still is. I'll tell you, when I found out I was pregnant, I was terrified. I was 16 years old. It's like, what's even going on with my body? What's going to happen? And I went to my very first OBGYN appointment, terrified, and was in the room. And the doctor just said, basically, what are your plans? And she was probably just fiddling around doing something at the desk, or I don't know. But this is what I remember. She said, "What are your plans?" And I said, "Oh, well, I'm planning on going to this maternity home. I'm looking into adoption." And all she said was, "Really sounds like you've thought through your options." And that's all it took. That set the bar really, really high for she respects me. Here I am, 16 years old and clueless on what to do. And she just made me feel like I had value. I can't say that that's how it went the whole way through my pregnancy and beyond, but the fact that she was able to do that proves to me that every other medical professional can do the same. It was a simple response that showed respect and value.
I really love that example. Thank you.
And I wish I knew her name, because I would write her a letter.
Yeah, how do you hint that down how many years later? We know that birth parents face a lot of challenges in, in and out of the adoption community. But what would you say are some of the hardest things about being a birth mother community?
People don't know what to say to us. When they, it's just weird. We're a part of a club that nobody wants to be a part of. And so I think one of the hardest things is just navigating life and trying to act like it's normal. Which now, however many years later in my life, like, it's normal now. But it took me 30 years to feel like, okay, this is normal. My daughter, who is now 22 and amazing, when she was in elementary school, probably kindergarten, we were walking into the elementary school with tons of donuts for my son's class. And another mom's walking out, and I don't even remember if I knew this woman. It was just like, oh, we ran into each other at the door, and she's like, "Oh my, how many children do you have?" And that question is just like, ouch. And so, trying to get my composure, realizing my daughter is looking at me, and I'm like, oh, my husband and I, we have two children. Like, I came out with my, here it is. And my daughter's like, and she gave one away. And so, that moment of like, oh my word. And that's just what my young daughter chose to say in that awkward moment. And I was like, have a good day. As I'm walking away. But it's those awkward moments of everybody doesn't have to understand, and you're going to be okay, and you can hold your head up high. And if I was in that situation again now, I would just be like, yeah, I'm a birth mom, and just keep on walking. But to get to that point, it's hard. It's so, so hard. So navigating adoption, sometimes it's like walking on eggshells, because as we go through life, it's okay, how do you date after adoption? How do you have the conversation with his family that you've placed a child for adoption? How do you educate your kids on adoption? How, when you go and, go to your next doctor's appointment when you're pregnant again and they say, "Oh, have you had any children?" And you're sitting there awkward. Like, there's just so many awkward moments that come along with being a birth mom. But with time, it helps define you. And it becomes like a pride thing of almost being really comfortable in those uncomfortable moments and realizing the other person's uncomfortable and I'm fine.
Yeah. And sometimes kids help in that situation, making these simple
Right?
things very complicated. I can recall one time we were at the grocery store and we were hoping to adopt again. And I think our daughter may have been 3 or 4, pretty young.
Kid.
And she walked up to a woman that was expecting and asked if we could have her baby.
That is so nice.
Yeah. And we then had to explain why my daughter was asking. Well, maybe. And it starts some great conversations sometimes.
So awkward. Well, it's good to know that adoptive parents have awkward conversations, and so do birth parents. So,
So going back to support systems, if you don't mind, I would love to talk a little more about that.
Absolutely.
Okay, thanks. So as we think about different support systems like counseling, therapy, openness, like open adoption.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you have any particular thoughts on what do you think is most helpful? Or what's helpful? I don't want to box it in too much. Yeah.
Two things come to mind. Number one, community. Everybody needs community. People that understand what you're going through, this, speak a language without even having to say the words. And then, I mean, therapy. I'm a big believer that therapy can walk you through so much in life, give you different perspectives. For birth moms, I think it's really, really important to find someone who is competent in adoption issues. In my own personal life, I went through some things. My dad has dementia and, stuff that has nothing to do with adoption. And I went to counseling, and somehow the counselor brought it back to there's a hole in your heart that's never been filled because you placed this child for adoption. And I'm sitting here thinking, that has nothing to do with why I'm here. And I never went back to that person. And it made me see how people can attach to like, oh, you're a birth mom. Let's dig into this issue when that's really not the issue. So I think it's so important to find someone who can help navigate issues, whether it's around adoption or not. Have a safe person that you can talk to. Because as a birth parent, like I said before, it sometimes it is like walking on eggshells as you're navigating communication with the adoptive parents or maybe even the birth father or whoever. And so having that safe person, whether a therapist or a good friend, who can help you see different perspectives and give pour into you, it's so important. But I mean, really, I just think community is so, so important for birth parents. So important.
So, how do you feel like Brave Love fits into that? Like, I know you're creating a community, but what does that look like for the listener who isn't aware of Brave Love and doesn't know maybe your vision? Can you help us catch that?
I can. So we want to, our mission is basically to change the perception of adoption by equipping professional with really good resources as they're working with these expectant moms. So the OBGYNs, the pregnancy crisis care centers, like we want to give them information that is sound, that is honest about what modern adoption looks like. We want to educate the public, the community, through dynamic storytelling. So really we capture the stories and videos and written stories of women sharing from their perspective what adoption was like. And we hear all the time from women all across the country, even internationally, that I connected with another birth mom. I read her story and I felt like I wasn't alone. And so I think that's one way where we're fostering community. And then also creating actual face-to-face community through our birth mother dinners. We're doing something new. We're just launching a pilot program where we're actually going to have totes for women when they're in the hospital, full of resources, little things that birth moms have said, like, I wish I would have known that when I was in the hospital. And something as simple as we're putting a Ziploc bag in those totes. And the Ziploc bag is something that the birth mom can put the baby blanket in, take it home. It's going to keep the scent in it. But who would have thought of that other than another birth mom?
Yeah.
So all the things in these totes were all chosen by birth moms. There's notes from birth moms. Like, this isn't a care package of we hope you feel better. It's like, you've made this really tough decision. Let's give you some little nuggets to help you be able to put your feet on the ground tomorrow and step forward. So community is not only sitting at the table together, it's also birth moms coming together to say, how can we support each other?
It's beautiful. Do you feel like you had that community with other birth mothers throughout your journey, or is that something that came later?
So again, this is where I feel really, really lucky. One of the Brave Love team members is also a birth mom. And she'll say it was 15 years until she met another birth mom. And that just shook me to the core. I was like, oh my gosh, I don't, in my area, because there was a maternity home here, there's a very active adoption agency that has a lot of support for the birth parent community. Like, some of my dearest friends are birth moms. And so, if I could just bring that to every other birth mom, I think that's where I feel very honored to sit in this role and say, I have that, and we can create that for other women too. Is it always perfect? No, but I am just, I feel so lucky, and it's like, let's just create this all across the country for other women to be able to move forward.
So when you were in the maternity home, like, what did your relationship with other girls there or other women there look like? And are you still connected to anybody from that experience?
Oh, yes.
I imagine
So
so, but
I am. So the maternity home, like, maternity homes don't look like that anymore. So when I was there was like 15 girls at a time. And how crazy did it look when we all went out in public, these. And we were teenagers, so all, waddling down the street, like, don't drink the water after them, just stay away kind of thing. So I'm sure we looked bizarre going to church and all sitting in the same pew together. But it really was a neat opportunity. Yes, there's crazy stories that I can tell you, but to sit there and be in a home with other girls who are going through the same thing that you were, crazy stories, crazy experiences, lots of laughter, lots of tears. And I think that's where I grasped the importance of community. I chose to go to the maternity home because staying at home wasn't a healthy spot for me. So going to a maternity home was a safe haven for me. And most of the girls in the maternity home parented. We had the opportunity to go through parenting class and adoption class and decision making class and just about every class possible. And so when I was ready to make my adoption plan, I felt very educated and very aware of what my rights were. But then I also had a parenting plan in the back of my head. And while being in this maternity home, everybody else had to take these classes. So we all understood what everyone was doing. So there wasn't that, like, well, you don't love your child, so why would you do that? Kind of like
Yeah.
those comments, they just didn't exist. And maybe I was just there during a really special time. But my roommate from the maternity home still lives in town. So I might run into her at Target, or we see each other on Facebook and send a message to each other. But it's really cool that it's been 30 years and I'm still connected to a lot of those women. And for me, in my career, I went from the maternity home to college, and then I went to work for the adoption agency that I used for the placement of my daughter. And it's just unbelievable to, I've worked there for 11 years, and then I went to be the director of the maternity home. And those relationships just continued through the years. And one of my roles while working at the adoption agency was search and reunion. So I also had the incredible honor to reunite some of those women with their children. And it's just like, what an honor. Like, what an honor. And there was a lot of hurt there, but to just sit with other birth moms and say, like, hey, this is going to be hard. I'm going to walk you through it. I mean, it's community. It's being with each other and just being present.
That's beautiful. Thank you. So if you could speak directly to someone who's considering placement, considering adoption, what would you want them to hear?
Oh, it's going to be so hard. I would only want them to hear that I support them in whatever they choose to do because it is totally their decision. And there's going to be good days and there's going to be bad days. Whether you make a parenting plan or an adoption plan, like it's going to be hard. But I would want any woman making that decision to know, like, you are not alone. And if that is helping her create a parenting plan, if that's helping her create an adoption plan, I just don't want her to feel like she doesn't have the tools to make a good plan. I laugh. One of my phrases is like, being a birth mom puts you in a club that nobody wants to be a part of. And but at the same time, sometimes when you're sitting there with other women, you just sit there and you're in awe of them and be like, oh my word, you are amazing. If you haven't had a chance to look at our video, our story of Mary Alice, I highly, highly recommend it. She is an amazing woman. She's probably in her 70s, even though she looks like she's in her 50s. And she talks about what adoption was like for her. And I don't want to tell you the whole story,
We
but
can
it's
we'll put a link in the show notes
okay.
episode
You
so our
definitely,
listeners can go listen or watch.
yeah. So I met Mary Alice before I even joined the Brave Love team, and I met her at a Brave Love birth mom dinner, and I just like fell in love with her. Like her joy and her determination is just beautiful, and just. I mean, just to sit with her, it was just an honor. And then joining the Brave Love team, and we're trying to figure out, okay, what are we going to do for videos? Who are we going to capture? And I was like, Mary Alice. We've got to get Mary Alice because she is part of an era that the stories have to be heard so history doesn't repeat itself. And so I think going back to your question of what would I want people to hear? I would want them to hear Mary Alice's story and see that she never gave up. And to see the love that she has and to see her redemption story. I would want anybody potentially making an adoption plan to connect with other birth moms and hear their stories and hear the good stuff and the bad stuff and yeah, be plugged in with other birth moms for sure.
That's great advice. And
Yeah.
there are a lot of online communities and obviously in the larger populated places where they can actually connect together and be with each other. And
Yeah.
I think from our perspective as well, we would recommend that highly.
And I think too, going back to if I was sitting knee to knee with a woman. I think it would also be like, okay, let me tell you how to advocate for yourself. This is how you do the hard work, and it's worth the hard work is worth it. This is what you look for in an agency. This is what you look for. Like, these are your rights. What do you want in an adoptive family? Tell me, what do you really want for communication? Like, I would really do that hard work and really think through, last weekend when I was being interviewed, it kind of hit me that I was doing that hard work when I was 17 years old. I had no idea what I was doing. I was writing a communication contract or a communication agreement at 17 years old, trying to figure out what do I want in 10 years. I had no idea. And so I'm really thankful that I had a social worker that was like, hey, you are going to be going through this journey for the next 18, because the laws back then were different. You're going to be going through this for 18 years and you're going to be reevaluating. You're going to be readjusting. Life is going to go on. Your life is going to get busy. And so being able to adjust, I would love to sit with a woman making this decision and say, like, this is how you do the hard work.
I think we could talk to you all day. This has been really
Yes.
fun. Is there anything that we haven't addressed that is just something that you want this community that will listen to this episode to know?
Yeah, I'm all about connections and I'm all about embracing healing, because healing from adoption is lifelong. Like, the trauma is with us forever. And to say like everything is great and adoption is what rainbows and unicorns, that's just not reality. And so I think, just to connect, I'm going to say it again, connect in community. So following us on social media at Join Brave Love, listening to the stories, asking questions, being a part of the conversations. It's awesome. It's awesome. I send out newsletters to our birth mom community, and so I sent out a big email a couple weeks ago about like, hey, what should we put in these totes? And the feedback was like, oh my word, we're doing the hard work. The birth moms are saying like, hey, this is what needs to change. And so what I would love for people to do, birth moms, is to connect with us on social media. And then of course, it takes a village. So anybody that wants to be a part of this community, just connect with us, share our stories. Adoptive parents, come and listen and learn. And find out what the birth mom community is all about.
I love that you said that last part, because I mean, I think of this a lot from the adoptive parent side, right? And what I wish I had known, what I did get exposed to when we were starting this journey. And as a podcast, one of our primary objectives is to amplify adoptees' voices, right? And as
Yes.
those who are considering adoption hear experiences from adoptees and their feelings and their situations and circumstances and who they've become and what that's looked like and felt like, educating ourselves that way is super important. But I think you're absolutely right that we as adoptive parents need to listen to this really important voice,
Yeah.
even before we make the decision for sure or not if this is the path that we want to go down.
Absolutely. And I think for me too, what I have embraced and really seen firsthand is understanding the birth parents is honoring the child. So the minute the adoptive parents are comfortable and are connected with the birth parents, you are honoring that child and saying your heritage and your identity is awesome, and there's no shame there, no matter what the story is. Like, the birth parents could have some really hard stuff, but if the adoptive parents are okay with that, that is such a gift to that child to say, like, there's no shame here in your story. There's no shame with your birth parents. You are valuable just like your birth parents are. So connecting with Brave Love and like hearing those stories, we welcome it. Like, please come learn from us.
Janelle, thank you so much. We have loved talking to you.
It has been such a treat. Thank you so
Yeah,
much.
we'll be sure to point people your direction, social media wise, and just to foster more connection how we can.
Absolutely. And please watch Mary Alice's video. It's lovely.
I really enjoyed our discussion with Janelle.
Me too.
She is a very authentic, genuine person. You can tell that she's passionate about helping others, helping birth mothers and mothers who end up deciding to parent, who might have considered adoption and end up deciding a different choice is right for them. I just feel so much authentic, genuine care from her for this community. And I think that is so important.
Yeah, and even off, off air when we were talking before and after our recording, it was just super easy to connect with her. She's so loving and caring, and as you heard in this episode, she has so much to offer from her individual experience and also the perspective that she has as the executive director of Brave Love. We're so grateful for everything that she's shared with us today, and hopefully those of you that are listening are feeling inspired to approach a relationship differently or to support someone else differently, and that these words from Janelle can sink in.
Yeah, and connecting with the organization Brave Love is something else that could be a great takeaway from this episode if that feels applicable and helpful for you. I loved her admonition that we should go forward and listen to more birth parent experiences and really have that open-hearted mind to listen. That's really one of our goals on the podcast. And so I loved that she said that. I loved her pointing us toward listening to some specific experiences on the Brave Love website. And I just think there is so much value in hearing people's personal stories, because I think that really can change our hearts and help us connect better.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you can check out the show notes to this episode for some specific links to resources connecting you to Janelle and Brave Love and some of the stories that she recommended. Thank you for listening to this episode, and welcome back to the Open Adoption Project.
Yeah, so just a couple of quick notes. If you are interested in sharing your own adoption experience on the podcast, if you are an adoptee or a birth parent, we would love to have you on the show. We are always happy to share any perspectives that people want to share on the show as adoptees and birth parents. And so please reach out to us. You can email us at openadoptionproject@gmail.com, and we would love to get you on air. Really, being able to hear people's experiences is a huge gift. We're not entitled to hear people's adoption experiences, but when they do feel comfortable sharing those, it can be such a valuable learning experience. I know that it really helps me in my relationships and adoption and in connecting with others. It's so incredibly valuable. And so we really hold that privilege sacred and feel so thankful for those who are comfortable and willing to share on the show. It really just benefits us so much, and I hope that it's benefiting you too.
So thanks again, Janelle, for sharing your experience, and thanks to each of you for listening to this episode. We'll see you back in a few weeks.